101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. It is a football Friday, leading into a football Sunday, Saturday, Monday, all of them. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Welcome in. Can't wait. Too many things going on. Got a full show coming up. David Eicholt coming in at 4:21. B Styles coming in at 5:21 and 5:40. That gives me three segments to take care of about two pages of notes. So we've got to get going. So let's get going. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and website 1700thechamp.com. Long weekend. I will get all the podcasts and everything up and done. I'll be ready to go to start next week on Tuesday. And what happened? Are we back?
No.
There we go. Whew. About lost it there. We'll be back Tuesday and ready to go. Last night we got a great football game. Friday, today we get Twins and White Sox. Tomorrow, you and I, Air Force, and then a night game, Twins and White Sox. Sunday, Twins and White Sox as well. What else do I got? Sponsors of the show: Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, iCubs. I got some really cool come and go commercials getting ready to go. And extremely happy to have BetMGM back with Steen on Sports and Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. So all that going on, we have high school football. We'll try to get in some of those games. We have college football coming up. We had college football last night as well. So it's a great time right now. And gosh darn it, there were some great games last night. We'll get to those games in just a second. Of course, every day when you get ready to do your show, I was prepping. I prepped some last night, prepped a little bit today, and then you have something that overtakes what you were prepping. And the thing that overtook what we were prepping for today was that college football, wink, wink, nod, nod, is going to go to a 12-team college football playoff in 2026. Okay, the wink, wink, nod, nod wasn't the fact that college football was going to go to a 12-team playoff. I think we all knew that coming in. I think we were all good with it. I don't think it surprised anybody. I think some of the points that did surprise some people was it going to be... They had to have a unanimous vote. So let's start there. The reason they had to have a unanimous vote last year, they would have passed this last year. The reason that it didn't pass last year, out of the 12 that were voting, you had the Alliance. The Alliance did not vote for it. If you remember, when the SEC came in and kind of plopped Oklahoma and Texas out of the Big 12 to take to the SEC, the Alliance, which was the Big 10, the Pac-12, and the ACC, were like, whoa, we better stick together, folks, because we don't want to have happen to what just happened to the Big 12. They didn't bring the Big 12 into the Alliance because I think in their small circle that they said, man, how are they going to survive not having Oklahoma and Texas? So let's fast forward a little bit. Out of that came the Big 12 conference going, okay, hold my bucket here for a second. We're gonna go grab Houston. We're going to grab Cincinnati. We're going to grab Central Florida. And we're going to grab BYU. Teams that have been at some point in time, close to getting the football playoff, all that. But we're gonna go grab them. We're gonna start that in 2024. So now you fast forward to this year. So in a certain bit, there was still an alliance. Everybody thought the Big 12 is like, yeah, we're not part of the alliance because you guys left us to like wither away, and we're not. And the SEC is like, we could care less. So that alliance, before this coming year, when they had the vote to move to a 12-team college football playoff, or at least to, they had talked about a 6, they had talked about an 8, they had talked about a 12. They all, you have to be unanimous, and all three of them voted no, and they're keeping it at 4. They thought that could at least keep things in check until 2026. What changed? Well, then you had the next shoe drop. Okay, so part of being in the alliance, you would think, would be to be nice to each other. Kevin Warren was not the Big Ten commissioner. I applaud him for it, because Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner of 2 years ago with COVID and on, off, not playing, playing, what are we going to do? I have no clue. I don't have a plan. To what a coup. He just picked up USC and UCLA, and in the past week has had Oregon and Washington also sit down with the Big Ten to see if they could make this work. So alliance gone. Now you are looking at a Big 12 or a 12-team college football playoff, which I think is great. I get it. Love it. Right now you'd have the power conferences would each get their number one team in. And I think that's a great thing. That gets you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the AAC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, SEC, Big 10. And this would start in 2026. That leaves Notre Dame kind of, if I was Notre Dame, I would be a little nervous. I would be, you know, if so here's the really funny thing in football. They do this in basketball. They schedule through the ACC. They scheduled through the ACC last year. For Notre Dame, I understand that being in ACC isn't what you want. You like your independence. That's why you keep pushing away the Big Ten. But if those six conferences, now I think that's going to, by 2026, I think that's going to change, because I think conferences are going to change. So I think Notre Dame is pretty good. And they have a singular vote on this committee. I think what, I thought here's the funniest thing of all this, and then I kind of want to move on, and I want to get some high school football talked about, and before we get David Eichold in here talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Bill Hancock, chief college football executive director, he said ESPN has the rights through 2026, or they may have it through, they have it through 2025. With first right of refusal on 26, that could go away if things start happening quicker as well. The top four teams get byes. The next four highest ranked teams get home games against the other four people that are in the playoff. They get home games, or they said they get home games, or they can name a venue if they want to do a different venue. I don't know who all that would fit into. If Ohio State or somebody didn't want, you know, if you had some place where you could play indoors, I don't know. Mark Keenum, he said two things today that I thought was very interesting. The first one was that implementing before 2026 would be a tremendous challenge logistically. I don't buy it. Yeah, I get that you're probably going to have to spend some of that billions of dollars to kind of pay off some bowl games that are not going to have, you know, are going to miss some of these teams that would be going there. You have some other things logistically. If you want to get this done, I'm pretty tired of listening to collegiate sports say that everything is logistically tough. The NFL can change. They go from 16 games to 17 games. They don't even think about it. They just do it. That's what most of these are. And I get their professional leagues. Trust me, the NCAA and the way they're doing the football, it's going to be as close to a professional league as you can be. As will basketball with the two NCAA tournaments. Because the NCAA isn't going to be in charge of them. They're going to put people in charge of them that know what they're doing, know how to get the most revenue out of it, know how to keep it on the up and up and do all that. I mean, all this stuff is going to change. Here was the one that this is why me, and I hope some of my brethren in talk radio, sports, now anything, sports news, anything you want. Here's the comical thing, because this is what they always say. It's for the good of the football player and good for the team. They don't believe that. If they did believe that it was best for the teams and it was best for the football players, you wouldn't be adding three games onto the season. Now I want them to do this. I want them. I think the college football players. It's going to make college football players. This is where name, image, and likeness comes into play as well. More games, you're going to get more opportunity, and it keeps some of these kids who are thinking about are going to be first 10 picks in the NFL draft, maybe playing in these bowl games because they're going to mean something, and they're going to mean a chance to get to the national championship. Mark Keenum, his last thing he said today, the driving force for college football expansion was because of more access for teams to have a chance at winning a championship. The only reason, bull crap. The only reason that everybody is doing this is because of money. That is what they're doing it for. Now, the NCAA is starting to get concerned because they don't understand that things are going to change before 2026. Listen, the SEC is going to either they're going to go into the ACC and grab some teams. They're gonna go grab some teams. They have to. The Big Ten is going to accept. Now they have a harder part with UCLA. The state of California wants to fight that. California can't fight themselves. They can't get out of their way. So USC, UCLA coming in. I think Oregon and Washington is a good fit. So there's four more. I believe the Big 12 is going to grab Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. It makes sense. It gives them Utah, BYU. I mean, it just sets up Colorado, Iowa State. You get that game again, old Big Eight times. I've said this from day one. I wish that we would pick up Memphis and choose another team, just so we can have that. Then you give Memphis and Central Florida a common thing that they can do every year, going back and forth with each other. College football expansion and going to 12 teams is going to look totally different when you have 20 teams in three conferences and then other conferences trying to figure out what they're going to do. So this is to implement this by 2026, just agreeing to this today, what the landscape looks like is going to be totally different than what the landscape looks today. So that's my take on that. We'll have plenty more on that. We'll probably talk a little bit with that with B Styles. We'll get into it a lot next week as well. Just to get through some of these games, that high school games that are going on tonight, and you need to see some of these time changes as well. Johnston and Urbandale are playing at 5:30. There's a threat of weather. I think it's later now in the day than what some people thought, but I'm glad some of these schools looked out. You also have Ankeny Centennial. That's a 7 o'clock start. Bettendorf Cedar Rapids Kennedy. That's a huge game on the east side of the state. That starts at 7 as well. Most of the rest of these all are at 7. Fort Dodge Ames and Des Moines Roosevelt Waukee. That's going to be an interesting game. Waukee not as strong as they have been since having two high schools. Des Moines Roosevelt taking a pretty big game for being part of the local area conference now. What else do we got here? We have Iowa City West is at Muscatine. Trying to get through some of these quickly. Marshalltown is at Waterloo East.
going to hit some of these at the bottom. I have a feeling Pella North Polk, I think that's going to be a good game. Huge game tonight. Dowling Catholic, Waukee Northwest. Dowling trying to look not to go 0-2 to see how that's going to be. I know we're going to get to Southeast Polk here in just a second because another big game for them as well. They must be playing that one at 7:30 because how in the world did I not pick up? Indianola plays Glenwood tonight. That's an interesting game. Carlisle playing Lewis Central. Bondurant, Farrar, Dallas Center, Grimes. That's a huge game. Okay, somebody help me out. Why am I missing Southeast Polk? I apologize. It's Southeast Polk Valley. It's a huge game. And this is great radio for me scrolling through here with my horrible eyesight saying, where is that game? I know it's Southeast Polk and Valley. I'm very interested to see how Valley fares against Southeast Polk. And Southeast Polk, they're so loaded. They're so big. So a lot of good things can happen and some really good. There it is. Southeast Polk. It's at Valley Stadium. It starts at 7:00. So that takes care of the big ones there. All right. When we come back, we're going to have David Eicholt. We're going to talk Iowa Hawkeyes. We got football coming up. Just a lot of stuff going on. See what he thinks about all the stuff with the new playoff schedule. We'll have him on coming up right after this segment. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. David Eicholt, myself, next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101 for Sports Talk Radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. It's a Friday. It's a football Friday. We're getting ready to have a ton of fun. Somebody broke my headphones yesterday, so I have new headphones today and struggling a little bit. But we're going to make it. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. This segment is brought to you by the iCubs. You got a couple of weeks left, folks. You need to get down there. You need to see Randy Wehofer, kind enough to come in here on a weekly basis and talk about all the stuff going on. Get out there and enjoy. My next guest is David Eicholt. He covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. He does it better than anybody. David, how you doing today, buddy? David? Oh, hold on. Are you there, David?
Hi. I got you.
There, he's got me. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you as well. I was thinking on when I was walking and coming back in here, is it good for everybody? So far, we've seen Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Penn State, and Minnesota. You had a chance to watch them on TV, and you're going to get Michigan State and Indiana and Illinois. So with the ones that have already played, give me just some quick thoughts on what you think of some of those teams.
First of all, Nebraska is the same team without a running quarterback and more of a, you know, in a better special teams. I don't think that this is the year Nebraska takes a step forward. I'd be surprised if Scott Frost is the coach next year. Pat Fitzgerald looks like an even year for him. I mean, I don't think they're drastically improved, but I think they're going to win more games and be, you know, a lot better than they were last year with Ryan Helensky as the starting quarterback. Looks like they have a nice 1-2 punch at running back. Minnesota, I think, looks like a team that will contend in the Big Ten West. I think their defense looks sharp, and I think the running game behind Mohamed Ibrahim looks like he's 100% after his devastating injury last season. And Michigan State, I'm curious how they're really going to turn out to be, you know, without their big running back that they had last year, but they've also been one of the best people as far as the transfer transfer portal goes. And Illinois is very interesting. I'm eager to see them tonight against Indiana. I think the running game is going to be better. I don't know if I really buy Tommy DeVito at quarterback, but it looks like they're still playing some physical football. But I do think the lack of a passing attack could end up hurting them. But I'm very intrigued about what I've seen from Big Ten teams so far.
It's been different. I mean, you're seeing high scoring games, offenses, and you know, last night I started getting texts because we all had 3.5, right? And you're like, run the ball. You know, don't in big moments like that, don't forget you're the Big Ten and run the football. And that's a win for them. It hurt watching it, but I get it. Iowa opens up. This reminds me. I mean, it reminds me of the last time. It was like three years ago. I was actually in Ohio, but Iowa State plays UNI, and Iowa's played UNI and struggled. Now you get South Dakota State coming in. That's not an easy opponent to start your season with.
You would think after what happened against North Dakota State, they wouldn't schedule FCS powerhouses, but here we are in 2022. See, and I think. There's, you know, a couple of interesting things about this game, though. SDSU has a lot of talent. I think Kirk has a lot of respect for the program. I think just talking to players this week, I think they're totally fired up and locked into the game plan. But I do think North Dakota State's much more built in the trenches than South Dakota State. I think North Dakota State is much more of a Big Ten team that's not actually a Big Ten team. South Dakota State, I think, is going to be dramatically outmatched on the offensive and defensive lines. I think that's where Iowa's going to win the game. Ultimately, I think Gavin, LaShawn Williams will have big days on the ground. I expect Lucas Van Ness to have at least 2 sacks tomorrow against them as well. But I'm interested to see how Iowa's defense comes out. I think they have the nation's best trio of linebackers. I think the secondary is going to be sharp. I think it could be the best defense in the Kirk Ferentz era. But what's very intriguing about this game scene is I'm eager to see how Brian Ferentz and the Iowa passing attack goes. It's very possible that Iowa only has 2 scholarship wide receivers healthy tomorrow, which is insane to think about. One of which, by the way, is a true freshman, Jacob Bostic. So Arlen Bruce might be the only scholarship receiver with playing experience. We'll see what happens with Keegan Johnson. I don't think he's going to play. He's been sort of touch and go during fall camp over the last week and a half due to a hamstring injury. I think they're going to try to save him for Iowa State. But like you mentioned, I think South Dakota State is no fluke, but I think Iowa's defense is too good, and I think that Iowa is going to run the ball 45 times or so.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think getting an early lead and giving Spencer some play action time and getting him comfortable for next week would be beneficial for them as well. So it's going to be exciting to see. Speaking of the wide receiving core, you know, that's always it's difficult. You know, you want to have as much as possible, and I get it. I don't know what happened with Charlie Jones. I don't care. But you're going to miss. I mean, he had 12 catches for 150 yards last night. You're going to miss some of that. But you have talent there. It's just young talent, and they're just not really big.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Keegan Johnson gets a full offseason work, if he gets healthy, I think he's in for a breakout year. I think Arlen Bruce is going to be one of the most versatile football players on Iowa. I think he needs to be utilized in the running game as well. He had 10 carries last year, scored 3 touchdowns on that. And then I love the idea of Sam Laporta being lined out wide. You have Luke Lachey, who I think could be a breakout guy, and I'm eager to see if Brody Breck can be 100% healthy, if he's going to be thrown in the action this year, because I've heard rave reviews about Brody Breck as well. So it's intriguing. The Charlie Jones thing, I think people need to take with a grain of salt. I think the timing is off, but I think people who take a step back and look at it objectively from a receiver point of view, it's his last year. He's trying to make the NFL. He's going to go to a passing offense where he's the number one option. If he stays at the University of Iowa this season, he's at best the number three option, because there's nobody that's going to convince me that you need to utilize Charlie Jones more than Arlen Bruce the fourth and Keegan Johnson. It just does not make sense to me from that standpoint. So, again, I think, you know, listening to Gary Dolphin talk at Fry Fest today, and it kind of backs up what I've been thinking is – Gary called it the deepest tight end room that Iowa's had. And that's very interesting to me, considering that, you know, that George Kittle, Henry Krieger, Colville, Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson, right? But I think Sam Laporta is in for a big year. You line him out wide. I think Luke Lachey, his potential's off the charts. I think he's a future Sunday guy as well. So there are options, but the way this you know, Iowa's offense gets solved, seeing as an improved offensive line in Iowa getting 4.5 to 5 yards on the ground on a consistent basis to take pressure off Spencer Petras.
And I think that is priority number one. Once again, that's why we have David on, because of what he can do and say. It's nice to have you back in here. We got a game coming up. And the interesting thing is when you're looking – so I listened to the Hawkeye Huddle guys that came on after my show the other night. I've listened to some other people, talked around. You know, I'm surrounded by Hawkeye people, which is fine. I'm okay with that, because as long as they're not playing the game next weekend, I'm rooting for both of these. You tell me the one thing that could disrupt this season and not have them hit expectations, which at the minimum, I believe what I've seen is 8. And what is something that could happen that could make that go to 9, 10, or 11?
So, Steen, I'll tell you my game-by-game prediction this year, and I was 12 for 12 last year. I like to pat myself on the back, so that's never going to happen again. But I have Iowa going 10-2. I think Iowa beats Michigan. I think they lose to Ohio State, and I think they lose to Wisconsin. With all the returning starters from last season, the expectation should be to win the Big Ten West. I think anything other than that, I don't want to say it's a failure, but it's a disappointing season. You have a third-year starting quarterback. You have proven weapons of wide receiver. You have one of the nation's best tight ends. You have the defense, which could be one of the best in the Kirk Ferentz era. You have an offensive line that's supposed to be improving. The thing that could devastate Iowa is, you know, knock on wood, an injury to Jack Campbell. I think Iowa's linebacking room is tremendous. I think their defensive line's deep. But Jack Campbell is called by Kirk Ferentz as the heartbeat of the Iowa defense. He does not say that lightly. He's thrown in the comparisons with Chad Greenway, which I think is probably one of the highest honors a linebacker at Iowa can be, you know, bestowed upon. I think that would be devastating. I think the thing that can really propel Iowa, forget the passing offense for a second, running the football.
Yes.
In a way, you get 5 yards to carry. Not all 5 yards to carry are created equal. Tyler Goodson was a tremendous back, with all due respect to what he brought to the table. He's an open field guy. He was not between the tackles. He'd break off run for 28 yards. The next 6 runs would go for 2, 0, negative 1, 1, negative 2, 2. 5 yards to carry, right? Iowa needs that 5, 6 yards. Just will the opponent, you know, just absolutely out-physical them in the trenches and run the football. If they can do that, the opportunities will be there for play action, which I think is where Spencer Petras and this Iowa offense in general over the years have thrived. And that's why I think they need to get back to.
So with the audience, give them a little bit. I know Gavin Williams and the second Williams. I heard you say it, but I forgot his first name. First name is?
LaShawn.
Okay. So give the audience, what are we looking at between those two? What makes them different from each other, and what's their strength?
So Gavin, I think, made an interesting comment back in the Citrus Bowl. He said it's like a thunder and thunder. It's not thunder and lightning. Gavin, I think, has a very strong lower body. I think he's built to get you that 5 or 6 yards of carry. I think he has a second gear. If he can get to that second level, I think he can break away. But he's the guy that really does a good job of protecting the football and can make people miss just due to a strong lower body. LaShawn, I think, has a little bit more of a shake to him. I think he has incredibly quick feet. I think back to a play I saw in the fall open practice, Steen. They were down at the 3-yard line. 2 defensive tackles broke through immediately. LaShawn made a great cutback and just left both defensive tackles in the dust and basically walked in the end zone. So I think he's not afraid of contact. I think he can, you know, shimmy a little bit in the backfield. But these are both north and south guys, which is, I think, ideal with what Iowa wants to do, so run the football. I think if Iowa can find stability at right tackle, I think that would be a big move. I'd love to see Connor Colby moved out to offensive tackle instead of offensive guard. I think there's more proven commodities in the interior of the offensive line. But, again, I think both guys can catch out of the backfield. They're both north to south guys. Gavin, I think, is more capable of breaking tackles, but LaShawn has a little bit more of a shimmy to his game.
And that makes it nice. It makes him different. I also can see, and this kind of takes you back a few years, but you're going to see some wide receiver screens. You're going to see some movement with those two wide receivers. You got to get them the ball.
No doubt. No doubt. And I'm very intrigued about how Iowa's going to, you know, like I said, I think they're going to throw Sam Laporta out wide, and they'll keep Luke Lachey in line tight end. Maybe they have Steven Stylianos, the Lafayette tight end transfer, or the true freshman Addison Ostrenga as a third tight end on the field. And if that happens, I'd be very intrigued about what Iowa would try to run, because if you think back to the Citrus Bowl, the touchdown pass they had was, I believe, a 38-yard tight end screen with Sam Laporta. Beautiful play, and they had a bunch of the blockers downfield, and it worked to perfection. So I would not be shocked to see that really in the fold as well.
We know what we have back at in the back end of the defense. You've already said how good the linebackers are. Give the audience just a little update on that front four.
Yeah, I think they're going to go back to what they were a few years ago. I think Iowa last year, I think they didn't really have a dynamic pass rusher, Steen, but they were so fundamentally sound, and I think that's what set them apart. But you look at, I believe, 10 of their top 11 defensive linemen returned this year, and then you add in Max Preps National Athlete of the Year, Aaron Graves, who I think is going to break that rotation incredibly early.
I've never seen an athlete like him, ever, ever.
He's arguably the greatest athlete in Iowa high school history.
I agree.
I would say he has a case for it. I think Cooper DeJean also has a case for it.
Yes.
Which is crazy because they're just in the last 2 years, but their accolades speak for themselves. But seven defensive linemen played over 200 snaps last year. And I think when you get that sort of production back, you have Noah Shan, you have a guy who I think is going to have a legitimate NFL decision, Steen, Lucas Van Ness, 6'5", 275 pounds, with a six-pack. This guy's called Hercules by his teammates, and I think he's going to have a double-digit sack season. I think he's very comparable to Matt Roth. That's a way throwback name, but I've talked to Scott Dockman from The Athletic, and I think he made a great comparison with that. When you look at their just games on the field, what they both bring to the table, definitely different personalities. Matt Roth is a little bit more out there, I think.
Crazy.
But, they both have very high ceilings.
He was crazy. Say it. He was crazy. But he was crazy
good,
too.
He was.
You know, and you get stability. I have to talk about my Dowling kids. John Wagner is, I mean, he just does what he does.
Yep. I think he's one of the more important Iowa defensive linemen from a point of not even a pass rush perspective scene. I know he was seen as that coming out of Dowling Catholic. But he's the guy who's really set the edge very well for Iowa, and he's a contained guy. And, you know, I don't think a lot of Iowa's defenders get enough credit for doing that, because when you do that and you have defensive tackles that eat up those two, three offensive linemen, that's what allows Jack Campbell to get 143 tackles in one season.
We got about 30 seconds. Going to a 12-team playoff, you know, plus or minuses for Iowa. I think it's a plus. What do you think?
Huge plus. I think it changes the absolute program outlook and what the expectations should be. Iowa should be in the conversation 2 out of every 5 years. I think they should expect to be a part of it once every 6 or 7 years, especially if recruiting continues to trend upwards. But if you get to 12 teams, Steen, Iowa's been up there as far as most wins in Power 5. They got to be in the conversation.
I agree.
And it should be expected.
All right. Enjoy tomorrow. We'll talk again next week. We got to talk a little basketball, men's and women's as well. And we'll talk about this game and the one leading up, because it's a big one next week, too. Thanks, buddy.
Be a lot of fun, Steen. Appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
Talk to you later, Dave. David Eichholt. That was awesome. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I got a couple of segments coming up, then I'm going to pass it off to B Styles. We're going to have a conversation. She got me for two coming up. Come back in.
This season, Northern Iowa fans,
and at this station,
nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Last segment of this first hour. Boy, that went fast. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. After the show tonight, it's definitely not Zach Gelb because he was on before. You'll get a little bit of CBS radio, then you're going to go into Twins White Sox pregame. Tomorrow you're going to get you and I at Air Force at 11 o'clock pregame, and then tomorrow night Twins and White Sox, Sunday night Twins and White Sox as well. I want to thank David Eichholt for coming in today. I appreciate it. And it's just great to have him be a part of the show. This segment's going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. They're a health-centric building maintenance company. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense and proper health care. They're always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for their employees. They're certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep those environments safe and more healthy for everyone. As always, great staff. They do a great job. For the way the workforce is, they do a really good job about having that continuity of keeping staff together, which is one of the main issues that everybody's having nowadays. So I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of the program. Like I talked about, we have B Styles. He's going to come in at 5:21 and take us right through 5:40. We're going to do a little bit of college and a little bit of pro football. We'll talk a little pro football as well. Maybe I'll throw a couple of bets out there with him and see what he thinks. That'll be exciting. So I've got this segment and the one right after this one. Just some interesting things out there today. Number one, Serena plays again tonight. So that is must-see TV. The second is one of the neat stats that came to my attention today is this year in the NFL, there are 15 women coaching in the NFL. Some of them exceedingly getting close to being in higher positions than what they've ever had before. So I think that's always it's a really big deal and it needs to be talked about. Some of the things that we talked about yesterday, I got a little bit of feedback last night on Kansas with now having sports betting on the other side. I don't think, from what I was getting back from yesterday, I don't think Missouri's close. That does have, it has an effect on what you do with Arrowhead Stadium or what you do with Kansas City Royal Stadium because of that extra income that brings. It's just going to be something to keep an eye on. One of the things when we've been talking about quarterbacks, social media, I get hit back on sometimes. And a lot of what I've been hit back on in the last few days is about Justin Herbert. He has the most passing yards in the first two seasons ever. He has the most touchdowns in his first two seasons ever. He plays with the team that is genuinely probably one of the most talented teams in the NFL. It's not about Justin Herbert. It's about Brandon Staley. What is he going to do this year to put a little bit more confidence in that football team to not make mistakes, for him not to make mistakes, and for them to finish games? I think that's going to be a pretty big deal. I also took a couple of hits, and it wasn't from my partner in crime, Scott, but Tua being a unanimous captain on the Miami Dolphins maybe has a bigger impact on their season than what I was giving it. So I apologize. I should apologize to Scott as well, that because I joke with him a lot about that. I did not get a lot of blowback on Lamar Jackson, and I had a Lamar Jackson stat come up, and I don't remember if I wrote it down or if I, let me see here. I think I took a pick. I'm going to go through some of these really quick. Before I do that, wins by a position player, that means a position player pitching wins since 1961 is one. Wins by Shohei Ohtani since June 29th, so a little over 2 months. He has 5 wins in that amount of time. It is definitely a bigger deal than what I've made it out to be. Do I think he's the MVP of the American League? No, I think he is. I think he has, second or third place pretty well wrapped up. Players to lead the Major League Baseball by 15-plus home runs through August. There's one name that did it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Babe Ruth did it 5 times. And Aaron Judge is doing that right now. That's the type of season he's having. That is why I have Aaron Judge, even though I will say this. If Aaron Judge, see, the problem is Ohtani, he can't control the wins and losses except for when he's pitching of the Los Angeles Angels, and they do not have a good record. This one I got sent to just about a few minutes ago. The worst record in the NFL in the last six seasons. The Jets are 27-70. The Jags are 28-69. And the Giants are 33-64. The question to me from this listener was, who's going to win more games? That's an easy one, I think. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win six, seven, eight games, eight, nine. If their defense maybe performs a little better, they don't have a lot of turnover, they could be 9-8. I don't think that's far-fetched at all. Just in case you're out driving, for sure, the Johnston game tonight starts at 5:30 due to what could be weather. I don't know if it's going to get down this far down, but there was some weather out there. Non-related sports, but true a little bit to our, you know, bringing women's news and sports, maybe get it a little bit more prime time here. Peggy Winston returned to Earth after 288 days on the International Space Station. The trip gave Whitson a total of 665 days in space, a record for any American. That's a huge deal. So, I can't imagine what that's like, you know, being there for so long and then coming back here and having to reevaluate everything. This was the one, and this came from a buddy of mine that does some sports radio. When Serena won her first U.S. Open match, Greg Popovich was 106th on the all-time win list. Tom Brady had not thrown his first Michigan touchdown pass. LeBron James has not made his high school debut, and Tim Duncan was the reigning NBA Rookie of the Year. That's crazy, folks. That's pretty cool. This is something. Peggy from Iowa. Oh my gosh, Uncle Aaron's listening. He said Peggy Whitson is from Iowa. I didn't know that. So thanks, Aaron. Here was one, and I think this matters in the NFL. And I don't think people, you know, you look at the home and away schedules and you don't think anything of it, right? Here's the teams with the most travel this year. The Seattle Seahawks travel 29,000 miles, 34 time zones. The Denver Broncos, almost 27,000 miles, 32 time zones. The Jags are 25,000 miles, 22 time zones. The Dolphins, 25,000 miles, 14 time zones. And the New Orleans Saints, 25,000 miles and 30 time zones. It matters. I know that's crazy to think that, but it does. It simply matters. this one is a lot of people, me included, at some point in time until I finally changed a little bit of my thinking. Here's the top four passers in the NFL since 2019, minimum 15 games per season, of the highest passer rating. Aaron Rodgers is number one. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. Number three is Russell Wilson. Number four is Patrick Mahomes. And number two is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is one of the most maligned people. I've done my fair share. Now, he's deserved some of that. But I have been a big one. So my Minnesota Vikings fans and buddies out there, I'm not hitting on Kirk Cousins. I'm not hitting on the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to surprise people. The reason that they had such a struggle and the reason Kirk Cousins had such a struggle was Mike Zimmer. Period.
not a good coach, not a good coach for that program, and not a good coach for what the NFL changed to in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Had no idea in the world how to take advantage of it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. I got one more segment. B. Styles has two.
Here's a look at traffic.